Shabbat Shalom again, everybody here. And Shabbat Shalom to anyone that will hear this message later. We get a lot of mail sometimes, people saying that with the messages, especially when it's feast and whatnot, oh, why does it take so long sometimes to get them on the website? So hopefully this message we are going to get up. If not today, we'll get it up in the next couple of days, Yahweh willing, that people can hear it. I think it's a really, really timely message and an important message. It's called Hearing the Voice of Yahweh. Hearing the Voice of Yahweh. And if ever there was a time that I think we need a message like that, it's for today. Matthew 24:4, you don't have to go there, but I'll just read one part. It says, in answering, Yeshua said to them, see that no man deceives you. This is the Olivet prophecy. So they're saying to him, you know, look at these great buildings, you know, and this and that. And then they ask him, what is the sign of your coming in the end? And the very first thing he tells them in the end time is not to be deceived. Now, I think we just mentioned this in the Torah study. If Yeshua was actually sitting here with us, the way he was back in 29, 30 AD, and he was talking to us, you know, and we had the spirit of Yahweh, could we really be deceived if we were hearing from him directly? You could be deceived, but chances are, if our heart was right and we were being led by the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't, you know? If he was actually here and you could ask him, when something was unplain, like his disciples said to him, what do you mean by this? And he explained it exactly. It's hard to be deceived if you're getting instruction directly from him like that way. But the problem is now that Yeshua is with us in spirit, but physically he's not sitting in one of the chairs, although there are stories of rabbis, Yeshua coming to rabbis and speaking to rabbis, and, which some of them are true, which I believe. But we have to be really, really careful, the first thing he says, of deception. Deception. So, hearing the voice of Yahweh, we want to be careful, and this is what we're going to go over today. How do we know what is the voice of Yahweh and what is not the voice of Yahweh? Proverbs 16:9, again, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but Yahweh fixes his step. A man's heart plans his way, but Yahweh fixes his step. And if we look at life, I mean, even look at someone like Mother Teresa, right? Her life was a good life. She helped people. She did a lot of good things. And yet, she was in a religion that is, you know, paganistic and all these other things and so many, you know, things that aren't of Yahweh in it. So it's like a man's heart plans his way. And there's people out there that do many, many good things in life, but Yahweh fixes his step. So when you're a covenant person, you know, hearing the voice of Yahweh is vital. Because what's going to happen? If you don't hear the voice of Yahweh, you're going to be going off in all different types of directions. And it doesn't mean that Yahweh is going to forget you. But you may take a lot of long paths to wind up getting to the same place. Matthew 6, I'll read two scriptures here, 9 and 10, which is referred to as the Master's Prayer. The Our Father. And it says, Matthew 6, verse 9, so then you should pray this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in heaven, also on the earth. Now again, it's not that we are supposed to say this prayer repetitiously this way, but the Master's Prayer, the Our Father, it is an outline of praying, you know? That we should be glorifying the Father and hallowing His name in our prayer, praying for His kingdom, and praying for His will to be done in as it is in the heaven, also on the earth. Now my question is again, if you're not hearing the voice of Yahweh, how on earth can you do this? How on earth can we ask for the Father's will or expect His will to happen if we don't hear the voice of Yahweh? You know, when you look at today, religion, you have Islam, you have Christianity, you have Judaism, you have Buddhism, you know, Hinduism, all these things. And every religion out there is following traditions of men. How many religions, like Islam, start wars, killing people, destroying lives, because they don't know the will of Yahweh? And, you know, living here in Israel, you get to see a lot of Muslim people and meet them. And I have friends, Palestinian friends, and I have to say Muslims are some of the most dedicated people you'll ever find in your life. They start 4 o'clock in the morning, every single morning, praying. and they go all the way to night. And yet, because they don't hear the voice of Yahweh, it's all in vain. What is the end result? The end result is they want to kill the very people that Yahweh set apart as His covenant people. So is hearing the voice of Yahweh just a nice idea? Is it something that will maybe make me a little more spiritual? No. Hearing the voice of Yahweh is the difference of life and death. It's the difference of dedicating your whole life towards something that you might found out on Judgment Day was completely wrong, and maybe you'll even go to lick a fire for it. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of suicide bombers, you know, that went in 1,000 pieces thinking they're getting 72 virgins in heaven, and the next thing you know, they're going to be before the throne of Yahweh for the lives of the people they killed. You know, so it is so important of hearing the voice of Yahweh. Let's go to 1 Kings 19, and I'm going to read several different Bible passages here today to really expound on this. Because sometimes when we're going over a teaching subject, it's good to go here a little, there a little, and a lot of little scriptures to put it together. But today I'm going to read at least three stories here that really pound home certain points that I think are so important with hearing the voice of Yahweh. First one is here in 1 Kings 19. I'm going to start in verse 7. And again, it's with Eliab when he comes to Yahweh. And 1 Kings 19 and verse 7, I'll go down to verse 18. It says, "And the messenger of Yahweh returned a second time and touched him, Eliab, and said, 'Get up, eat, for the way is too great for you.' And he rose up and ate and drank, and went in the power of that food 40 days and 40 nights to the mount of the Elohim Horeb." Wow. "And he came there to the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him and said to him, 'What are you doing here, Eliab?'" Wow. Can you imagine if you're on a divine commission from Elohim, and when you get there, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, you know, have you ever heard someone say that when there's a problem? Hey, maybe we should fast about it. This guy fasts 40 days and 40 nights, probably ready to keel over. And then he gets there, right? Right where he should be. And he hears Yahweh say, "What are you doing here?" How would he feel at that point? And he said, "Zealously." So he's answering zealously, right? "I have been zealous for Yahweh." So it was nothing wrong with his zeal. It was nothing wrong with his character. There was something else wrong there. Maybe the character, but not his zeal for certainty. And he said, "Zealously, I've been zealous for Yahweh Elohim of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have thrown down your altars and they have killed your prophets with the sword. And I am left, I alone, and they seek to take my life." Now the funny part is, we read this, I think, last week or the week before, as we see before this, that what happened? When Obadiah came to Eliyah, he told him there's 400 prophets that he hid in the cave. So the first thing Eliyah had a problem with was he didn't listen too well. You know, and that's what happens a lot of times when we don't hear the voice of Yahweh. We get something in our mind that we think is Yahweh's will. We want to push something, and then we don't listen to reason at that point, which is a problem. And he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind tearing the mountains and breaking the rocks in bit before Yahweh." And boy, that you can imagine, probably one of the worst tornadoes or hurricanes you can imagine. But Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire came a voice which was a small whisper. And it happened when Eliab heard, he wrapped his face in his robe and went out and stood at the cave opening. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Eliab?" And he said, "Zealously, I have been zealous for Yahweh Elohim of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have thrown down your altars and they have slain your prophets by the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." And Yahweh said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And you shall go in and anoint Hazael as king over Syria. And you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mel-Olah, as prophet in your place. And it shall be, he who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and he who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. And I have left in Israel 7,000, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So, one of the big things we learn in here is, you cannot hear the voice of Yahweh with clutter. You can't. And a couple months ago, we were in Houston for a meeting there. Had a wonderful meeting. Really, really nice time. But the one thing is I noticed in the hotel that we were meeting at, there was just clutter everywhere. You know, if you go to a hotel in America, there's always the TV on, CNN or whatever, constantly, 24 hours. So you can't even sit there and talk. There's always loud noise coming in, people coming in and out, music playing from over here. there's always clutter. There's always clutter from somewhere. You know, many people in their house, you'll notice they always have to have the TV on. You know, no matter what, 24 hours a day, the TV is always on or something like that. And it's like, we're not taking the time to meditate. Who even has the time to meditate, right? But we need it. If you're going to hear the voice of Yahweh, you need time alone every single day to just sit there and meditate on Yahweh. Just to talk to Him. Not in formal prayer, maybe on your hands and knees and praying, but just to kind of sit there after you read your scripture and meditate on what you just read. And let Yahweh talk to you. Let Him talk to your mind. Let Him put things in there. You know, time put apart from Him. Fasting time, where you just put time away from Him. There's too much clutter in Babylon. Absolutely too much clutter in our life there. But what did we see? We saw that Yahweh wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. He was in that small voice, that whisper. And again, you know, my hearing isn't so great. And if someone whispers to me, if there's a lot of noise going on, I won't be able to hear that whisper. I'll be like, what? What? You know, you've got to have quiet in order to hear whisper. And if we're going to hear the voice of Yahweh, we've got to have quiet in our life. You've got to have quiet in your life. You've got to have peace. You've got to have time to think about, to pray about what is Yahweh's will for you. You know, how many times in a week do we think about that? Are we fulfilling Yahweh's will in our life? What is Yahweh's will in our life? You know, what is it for us? Eliyahu just did one of the greatest miracles in Scripture. I mean, when you think about it. Not just killing the priests of Baal, but literally calling fire from Yahweh from heaven, and Yahweh honors that. It comes down. One of the greatest miracles of Scriptures. And then he disqualifies himself because he's following his own will and not Yahweh. You know? And it's amazing that sometimes when we're hearing the voice of Yahweh or we're following His will, the results are not always clear at first. You know, that's the problem sometimes. We're in Babylon, we're in this quick fix society. You know, it's like, oh, I got cancer, I got 3 weeks to live, take this pill, you'll be good. That's the society, it's this quick fix. Everything is a quick fix. You know, the next thing you know, they're going to come out with something, maybe for women to just take a pill and have a baby in a week, you know. You don't have to go through the birth pains. But that's the whole society is geared toward that. You know, no more going to college for 7 years. Just do a correspondence course. It's only like 3 weeks, and then you're a doctor. Really? Yeah, you get a certificate and everything, you know. I don't know if you want the person operating on you, but it's just the way it is. Everything is a quick fix. But yet with Yahweh, if we're going to be qualified, just like we're talking a few minutes ago about why did Yahweh, you know, leave the people in the land here? Why didn't He cast the people out right away? And He actually says it in His Word. He actually tells us why He did it. Because He said if He cast them out too quickly, the people would get too pacified. They think it's too easy. So He had to test them by doing it little by little to see if in the long run they were going to be obedient to Yahweh and keep His Word and keep His commandments. So the results, when we're following Yahweh, they're not always clear at first. Let's go to a perfect example and look at this. Let's go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. Because I say this, because if the first thing Yeshua warned us of is deception, right? What's going to happen? When you're following the will of Yahweh, what are people going to tell you? They're going to tell you you're being deceived. Because there's only two spirits out there. There's Yahweh's spirit and there's Satan's spirit. And in the end time, most of the people do what? They take the mark of the beast. They give their allegiance over to this system. So anybody who's outside of the system of world democracy, you're going to be looked at as a nut, as a crazy person, and probably out of your mind. Exodus 3, verse 13. Exodus 3, and verse 13. I'll read down to 17. And here's Yahweh. Here's Moses before Yahweh at the burning bush. And Moses said to the Elohim, "Behold, I shall come to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Eloah of your fathers has sent me to you. And they will say to me, what is His name? What shall I say to them?" And Elohim said to Moses, "Hayah Asher Hayah, I am that I am." And He said, "You shall say this to the sons of Israel, Hayah, I am, has sent me to you." And Elohim said to Moses again, "You shall say this to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the Eloah of your fathers, the Eloah of Abraham, the Eloah of Isaac, the Eloah of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is how I should be remembered from generation to generation. Go and gather the elders of Israel and say to them, Yahweh, The Eloah of your fathers has appeared to me, the Eloah of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, visiting, I have visited you, and have seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up from the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. So wow, now here it is. Divine commission, right? He didn't have a dream, didn't have a feeling, didn't read something and think. He's before Yahweh, and Yahweh's saying, go. And he's saying, but they're not going to believe me. You know? I mean, can you imagine? So what happens now? He's following exactly what Yahweh says. Let's go to chapter 5, and let's see the result of this. So here's a guy who's being a shepherd in the wilderness. When Yahweh, he's before Yahweh, and Yahweh's saying, I'm going to do this great job for you. And what was Moses' response? Get somebody else. I stutter. He didn't want to even go, to the point where Yahweh almost got angry with him. And he's like, look, I picked you. Go on this job. And now let's see what happens. So Moses was not coming in his own will. Moses was not going against Yahweh. He's following exactly what Yahweh told him to do. And let's look at the result. Exodus 5. And after when Moses and Aaron came in and said to Pharaoh, so says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, send away my people, and they shall feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh that I should listen to his voice to send away Israel? I do not know Yahweh, and I also will not send Israel away. And they said, the Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us go a journey of 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh our Elohim, lest he fall on us with plague or with sword. And the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you loose the people from their work? You go to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are many now, and you make them cease from their burdens? And Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their overseers that they said, you shall not go on giving straw to the people to make bricks as yesterday and the third day. They shall go and pick up straw for themselves. And the fixed number of bricks which they are making yesterday and the third day, you shall put on them. You shall not diminish from it. For they are idle. They are crying, saying, let us go, let us sacrifice to our Elohim. Let the bondage be heavy on the men, that they may work in it, and may not trust in the lying words. Lying words! So they're saying that these are actually lying words of Yahweh. And the taskmasters of the people and their overseers went out and spoke to the people, saying, Pharaoh has said this, I will not give you straw. You go take straw for yourself from wherever you may find it, for not a thing will be reduced from your work. And the people scattered in the land of Egypt to pick up stubble for straw. And the taskmasters were demanding, saying, finish your work, the matter of a day and its day, as when there was straw. Let's drop down to verse 19. And the overseers of the sons of Israel saw themselves in affliction, saying, you shall not diminish from your bricks the matter of a day and its day. And they met Moses and Aaron standing to meet them when they came from Pharaoh. And they said to them, may Yahweh look on you and judge. You have made our odor to stink in Pharaoh's eyes and in the eyes of his servants, to give a sword in their hand to kill us. So here's a guy just doing it. He sees Yahweh himself, comes, does everything Yahweh said, and now they're judging him. And Moses returned to Yahweh and said, Yahweh, why have you done evil to this people? Why then have you sent me? And since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you did not certainly deliver your people. Just one verse in chapter 6. And Yahweh said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. For he will send them away with a strong hand. Yea, he will drive them out from his land with a strong hand. So sometimes, why does Yahweh allow situations to happen where at first they look like they're not going in the right way? Because he's testing us. If everything went perfect, there's no faith. There's nothing to learn if you go and do something that you're convicted of and everything goes the perfect way. That's not faith. Faith is when you go through the struggles and the trials and you learn and you come out of there more trusting in Yahweh. You know, like we said, look at Scripture. Eliyahu kills 450 prophets of Baal by the fire of Yahweh. And the next day, Jezebel's trying to kill him. Can you imagine? One day he's there, and Yahweh, and boom, and all these people dying. And the very next day he wakes up, and it's like, did it ever happen? You know, here you have this woman saying, if the day goes out and Elijah isn't dead, you know, then this is going to happen. Look at David. David comes, this beautiful shepherd boy who had such a heart and a zeal. And what happens? Samuel comes and anoints him, and for 13 years... he's running around and hiding in caves for his life for 13 years after he's anointed a king, as a king. Was there a time to learn? Absolutely. That's why I say, Babylon, they just don't have patience. They don't have patience, just like now with the Ephraim program. 2,700 years we're in diaspora, and everyone wants it today. You know, either it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. No, it's going to happen as Yahweh has it to happen. And it is happening. The vexation of Judah, in just 10 years since we've been here, I'm telling you, this is a different land, how these people out here look at us. And this is only the beginning. Now that the vexation is starting to leave, very, very quickly it'll change. I mean, they're very, very different. 10 years ago, you would have never even have gotten, if you weren't Jewish, that's the end of it. They wouldn't even talk to you. Now I have Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox people calling me brother. Not because of Ephraim. They don't even understand the Ephraim. Because they see that I love the Torah, they see I love the land, and they see that I'm here doing, trying to serve and trying to help. So things do not always, results are not always clear at first. Time out. Look at Joseph. Joseph has a dream, right? Same thing. 17 years old, he's going to be reigning over his brothers. 13 years. He's thrown in a pit. He's sold to Egypt as a slave. Then even when he gets over Potiphar's house, what happened? He's wrongly accused of trying to attack Potiphar's wife and winds up in prison. You think he had any doubts in his mind? No, I don't see that. I don't see David doubting those 13 years as he's going in the wilderness. I don't see any doubt from David. Matter of fact, twice he had Saul in his hand that he could have killed him and took the kingdom. He was already anointed the king. But what did he say? Yahweh will choose the time. Yahweh will choose the time. And yes, he said, I'm going to be king. I know I will be, but Yahweh will choose the time. It's the same in our life. And that's why I say we have to hear the voice of Yahweh. Because if not, it's like the wind. We'll just be going every day to what? To and fro, running this way and that way for nothing. But when you hear Yahweh's voice and you know His will in your life, it doesn't matter timing. It doesn't matter if something happens in a day, a month, a year, or 10 years. The key is that you're hearing the voice of Yahweh, and every day you're moving toward His will and not away from His will. How else could faith and humility be built but by Yahweh allowing us to be tested this way to see if we'll trust Him? Or if we will turn back to our own human nature and way as Adam and Eve. That's the bottom line. You know, through these trials, how else can He find out whether for eternity we're going to be faithful unless He tests us through these trials? And He wants to see. Are we going to say like Job? Are we going to, the first they say, oh yeah, you know, Yahweh be true and every man a liar. But when the trials get a little worse, are we then going to take things into our own hands? You know, I've seen people say with sickness, you know, well, okay, I'll pray to Yahweh to heal me. And then if I'm not healed within 3 days, now I'm going to take it in my own hands. You know, and do it this way or do it that way. But he's got to test us. He's got to build faith and humility in us, and He's got to test us on His way. Let's go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. We'll see a little bit of this. Because you know something? Our King and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, went through the same things we're going through. He went through the same trials and struggles and the same testing. And is a faithful high priest to us. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. It says, and though He was a good son, Yeshua, because of the fear and suffering which He endured, He learned obedience. And having been perfected, He came to be the author of eternal salvation to all the ones obeying Him, having been called out by Yahweh as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Wow. Can you imagine that Yeshua, because of the fear and the suffering which He endured, He learned obedience. And that's what Yahweh wants to see. Faith is not just having something in your mind, or faith isn't for a day, or faith isn't for a week. Faith is through your life. And that's why I love things like Fox's Book of Martyrs. When you see people like Richard Wurmbrand, people that were in concentration camps, sometimes for their whole life, for 10 years, 20 years, and never wavered in faith. Never wavered in faith. You know, that's what He wants to build in us for that kingdom. He wants to know that a quadrillion years from now, we're not going to start questioning, you know something? Maybe Yahweh wasn't right on this point. Hey, maybe He's not perfect the way Satan did. And I'm telling you, Satan didn't go from Lucifer the light giver to Satan the light taker overnight. It took time for that to go in his mind. It took time for him to question Yahweh on things. Who knows how much time? But it certainly wasn't an overnight. It's the same with us. He's got to test us. He's got to see that we will never, ever, ever question Him. That we will just unequivocally follow Him for the rest of our life. Hebrews 12.
Hebrew 12.
And that's why. That's why the results are not always clear at first. By hearing this voice. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. It says, consider therefore how much he suffered from those sinners, for they were adversaries to their own soul, so that you do not become weary, fainting in your soul. So consider the suffering Yeshua went through, so that we don't weary in our soul. The same thing. He says, you did not resist unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which he speaks with you, as with sons. My sons, do not despise the chastising of Yahweh, nor faint while being corrected by him. For whom Yahweh loves, he chastises, and disciplines every son whom he is pleased. If you endure discipline, Yahweh is dealing with you as sons. For who is the son whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are strangers and not sons. Furthermore, indeed, we have had fathers of our flesh as correctors, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits, and we shall live? For they truly disciplined us for a few days according to the things seeming good to them, but he for our profit, in order for us to partake of his holiness. And all discipline for the present indeed does not seem to be joyous, but grievance. But afterwards it gives back peaceable fruit of righteousness to ones having been exercised by it. Because of this, straighten the hands hanging alongside and enfeebled knees. Straighten the hands, you know, pray, give him praise, and make straight tracks for your feet, that the member which is lame may not suffer, but rather be healed. And I say, you know, our first few years out of America, when we left 10 years ago now, 10 years ago this month, we left America, August 1999. And I can only speak from my own experience because I didn't have other people's experience, but those first few years are just golden in our mind and our memories and the things we learned of faith in Yahweh. And I know I would not have learned that under the old system. I know I wouldn't have done it. So it's like it says here, when it's over, do you want to go back to it and go back to the struggles and trials? No. But you cherish them, and you cherish what you've got out of it. And you cherish because it's got to take you to the next level in your calling. You know, where we are now, you don't get from this step to this step in one jump. You have to go step by step in building your faith to Yahweh, and it's got to start somewhere. Yeshua also suffered as we do. We must thank Yahweh for loving us enough to purify us through trials. We must hear the voice of Yahweh through trials to learn what it is He's teaching us. And that's the point. If you don't learn the lesson, you're going to keep going through the same trials. And I see that with people sometimes. That their whole life, they keep struggling through the same trial. And, you know, I always say, you know, if somebody is sick or whatever, right away we don't think, ooh, what are they doing wrong? But if someone is constantly going through health trials, constantly over and over, you do have to pray to Yahweh and ask, is there something in my life that is causing these trials to come? And when you see that people are continuously going through the same struggle, the problem is they're not learning. They're not learning the lesson that Yahweh was teaching David, that Yahweh was teaching Eliyahu, that Yahweh was teaching Joseph. These great men of the Bible learned the lessons through these trials, and then they went on to greatness as people of Yahweh. You know, Ruth, you look how it starts out. Her husband's dead. She doesn't have any children. And yet, through that, she learns humility. She learns servitude toward her mother-in-law and then toward Boaz and becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David. So it's like, what are we learning? What are we learning through these trials? Through the trials, we have to learn what it is Yahweh's trying to teach us. Sometimes He will even allow us to go down a wrong path, thinking we're hearing from Him, so in the future we'll know the difference. And I mentioned before, you know, years back when we first left America and met somebody calling himself Elijah the prophet. And we weren't sure. Maybe this is Elijah. Hey, he's got to be somebody, right? And maybe it's this guy. This guy's living by faith. And Yahweh allowed us to go down that wrong path for a time so that now I know the difference. Now I'm not going to be deceived by another false Elijah the prophet. So it helped me to learn, like we said before. How do you know what black is unless there's white? How do you know what good is unless there's evil? How would I know who the real Elijah the prophet was unless I saw the false Elijah the prophet? And it's not always so easy because, like I said, in this case, the man was living by faith, believing in the Torah and doing a lot of things. But you have to test the spirits. You have to test the spirits. So sometimes Yahweh will even allow us for a time to go down a wrong path so that we can learn the difference between the voice of Yahweh and our own heart or a deceitful spirit. So how do we know the voice of Yahweh? Now, let's get into it. How do we know in our life the voice of Yahweh? going to read two scriptures here. You don't have to go there. They're short. First one is Isaiah 8:20. We've read it before. To the Torah and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And I've said it many times, not to judge anybody, but in my own personal life, if someone does not even believe in the simplicity of the Ten Commandments, I really don't want to hear anything else they have to say. All they're going to do is deceive me. I don't want to hear what his prophecy is on this or his prophecy is on that. Because what Daniel says in the end time, it's the obedient that will know what's going on in the end. So I don't want to be deceived by Tim LaHaye or any of these other guys that are into the Left Behind and all this other stuff. So to the law and to the Torah and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. So the first way to hear the voice of Yahweh is it must be according to his word. If there's something that you think is the Holy Spirit of Yahweh inspiring you, and it's against his word, and believe me, I've seen it here in Israel all the time, especially when we used to live in Jerusalem. And people, many people, used to tell me, no, the word's done away with. You just have to go by the Spirit. And I would just tell them, the Spirit will never contradict the word. Never. They're in agreement. How can Yahweh's word contradict? How can the Spirit contradict his word? So we want to make sure that if we think we're hearing the voice of Yahweh, it cannot be contradictory to his word. Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be, which goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in what I send it to do. So, you know, every one of us that's a covenant believer is an ambassador for Yahweh. And in our daily life, there's things he has us to do. It could be as simple as helping a widow carry a bag, or it could be something as big as going and talking to a dignitary. But whatever that job is, like he says, his word will not come back to him void. So whatever we're doing, we want it to be in the confines of his word. Everything we do, we want to be with the character of Yahweh. You know, we don't want to say, well, okay, you know what? Yahweh's word says we shall not steal, but my family hasn't eaten in 3 days, so I'm going to justify that I can steal some food. You know, it wouldn't be Yahweh's spirit telling us that. You know, telling us to do something against his word. So again, point number one. If we want to hear the voice of Yahweh, it's got to be according to his word. Point number two. We need to be in submission to Yahweh's judicial order to hear his voice. If you look in Scripture, many times a prophet or a man of Yahweh would confirm something from Yahweh. So, in the day and age we're living in now, that's a big problem that you don't see people coming to Yahweh's leadership for counsel. You know, I've had this happen to me so many times I can't even tell you now, that somebody's come up to me to talk to me about a doctrine. Let's say the Sabbath, the rotating Sabbath, that's one of them. And I'll ask the people, where did you get this from? Not one person has been able to tell me the background of the person that they read the study paper on that says the Sabbath is Tuesday this month and Wednesday next month and Thursday the next month. Yet they've given up the Saturday Sabbath. They've given up the seventh-day Sabbath, the only sign between Yahweh and his children forever. The sign that we're his family. They've given up and they don't even know who the person is. You've never contacted them? You don't know his credentials? You don't know who he is? No, but it sounded good. I'm telling you, you want to hear the voice of Yahweh, and I'm going to read some examples here. You know? We'll start in Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 11:14. In the absence of wise counsels, the people fall, but safety is in the abundance of counselors. So hearing the voice of Yahweh, a lot of times, there's always two witnesses to everything, right? That's what the word says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Sometimes the witness, well, it always will be the word, will always be one of the witnesses, but sometimes the witness will come through another person. And have you ever had this happen? That Yahweh is showing you something, and then you talk to somebody else, and they just totally verify what you're studying or what the Father's showing you. You know, in the mouth of two witnesses, let it be established. So we want to make sure that we're in the multitude of counsel. Proverbs 12:15, the next page. The way of a fool is upright in his own eyes, but he who listens to advice is wise. So all of us, it's important that we're getting advice, that we're counseling, we're getting good counsel. But where is our counsel coming from? Because I want to read you some examples in here of good counsel, and I want to read you some examples in here of bad counsel that actually destroyed people's lives. And I think it's one of the problems in the body today is that because there's so many people out there that are not under any headship, they don't want to come to counsel. They don't want to come to counsel from the leadership that Yahweh has put in place. Many false doctrines, you know, that come from this. They think they're being led by Yahweh, but they go against the leadership in the body that Yahweh has established. And I always go to Proverbs 18:1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. So now here's somebody who's going to tell you, he's got this, like the Sabbath, you know, being on Tuesday, and yet he separates himself from the body. He doesn't, it's only between me and Yahweh. There's nobody else. I don't have to hear anybody else. Again, how can that be? Is that the way Yahweh works? Would Yahweh actually have somebody who's against any kind of judicial order and give him this new information that nobody else has when he won't even submit to anybody within that? It's not the way it works. And I've had people claiming to be prophets telling me the same thing. Well, a prophet's not under anybody's judicial order. That's absolutely not true. You know, I don't know what prophets they're reading, but even when you look in Scripture, you know, prophets are under judicial order as well as a king is under judicial order. And many times the prophets came to the king when they did something wrong. Look at Nathan with King David. King David, when Nathan came and he told them the story and he said, "You are that man," King David didn't say, "Hey, I'm the king, have him killed." He wept bitterly and repented because there was still judicial order there. So let's read a few of these stories and see what we can learn out of them. 2 Kings 8. 2 Kings 8 in verse 7. And we'll see that it's a pattern through Scripture that Yahweh spoke through men of his leadership. It says, "And Elisha came to Damascus," 2 Kings 8:7, "and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And he was told, saying, 'The man of the Elohim has come here.' And the king said to Hazael, 'Take a present in your hand and go to meet the man of the Elohim. And you shall seek Yahweh by him, saying, "Shall I revive from this sickness?" So in ancient days, when people knew that someone was a man of Elohim, and face it, the normal person, the average person out there, doesn't have discernment. It scares me sometimes when I see the lack of discernment in the body of Messiah. But it's not a bad thing, because Yahweh has to give that. It's a spiritual gift. So if he doesn't give me discernment, what do I want to do? Like Solomon, I want to go to someone who has discernment. And not just one, maybe a council of two or three people who have the gift of discernment and ask their advice. You know, what did Solomon? He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for his enemies to be killed. He asked for wisdom so that he could rule over Yahweh's people wisely. And it's the same with us that we need to do. 1 Kings 14 is another situation. 1 Kings 14, 1 through 3. It says, "At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, was sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, 'Please rise up and disguise yourself, that you may not be known to the wife of Jeroboam. And you shall go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah, the prophet, is there. He spoke to me of being king over this people. And you shall take 10 loaves in your hand and biscuits and a flask of honey and come to him. He will tell you what will become of the boy.'" And I'm telling you, we could get 20 stories in here of this. All over you see this. Even the king, that when they wanted to know something, what would they do? They'd get a man of Elohim and they would ask for his counsel. So I think one of the major reasons, you know, people ask all the time, why is there so much chaos in the body today? Why is there so much confusion? And I think part of the reason is, well, definitely a big reason is we're not hearing the voice of Yahweh, but a big part of why we're not hearing the voice of Yahweh is that people are not coming to the judicial order of Yahweh for wise counsel. They're going to everything but, and I think since the age of the internet, it's only exasperated the situations with that big time. Let's go to 2 Samuel 15. We'll see another story which really shows with King David the importance of counsel. Second Samuel 15, I'm going to start in verse 30. And this is when Absalom is coming to Jerusalem. He's trying to kill David. They're fleeing the city. And now this is life and death. I mean, one wrong move, and David could be gone. The whole dynasty could be gone. So if ever there was a time where, boy, he had to pray to Yahweh and take the right advice, it was now. This was a serious time. So I'm going to start in verse 30 of 2 Samuel 15. And this is when David is leaving the city and he's going away. And it says, "And David was going up in the ascent of the Olives, going up and weeping. And his head was covered and he was going barefooted. And all the people who were with him, each had covered his head and had gone up, going up and weeping." They were in mourning. "And one told David, saying, 'Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom.'" Ahithophel was a counselor from Yahweh. and actually had good counsel, and he went with Absalom instead of David. And David said, "Oh Yahweh, I pray you, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolish." Huh, wow, that's a lot to think about just there. You know, that even someone who's a man of Yahweh, who's hearing from Yahweh, if you go in the wrong direction, Yahweh could make your counsel foolish, and you might not even know it. How important is it staying on the right track with the Torah? And it happened as David had come up to the top, there where he bowed to Elohim, and behold, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him, his tunic torn and earth on his head. And David said to him, "If you pass on with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city, and you shall say to Absalom, 'I also will be your servant, O king. I was servant of your father before now, and now I am also your servant,' then you can break down the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And do you not have there with you Zadok and Abiathar, the priest? And it shall be, you shall declare everything that you hear from the house of the king, you shall report to Zadok and Abiathar, the priest. Behold, there are with them two sons, Ahimaaz and Zadok and Jonathan to Abiathar, and you shall send them to me by their hand anything you hear." And David's friend Hushai came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So, boy, you start reading some of these stories in Kings and about those days, one thing you see is not only do you want counsel from people who are wise, you better have counsel from people who are loyal. You know? Because in these days, everyone did what? Their loyalty was mostly with who's in charge. Whoever was the king in that day, you could be loyal to this guy today. And it's still a custom in the Middle East with Arab people. You know, Arab people, it's the mentality of living till tomorrow. And you saw it in Iraq. This is the war to end all wars. We're going to kill every person. As soon as Saddam Hussein goes down, all the people in the Iraqi army put their arms down and came over to the Americans. And most of those guys were the ones that were trained by the Americans now when they're taking over. So it's important with counsel. Like I said, you don't only want somebody who's wise counsel from Yahweh. You better make sure it's somebody who's loyal also. Now what happens in this story? Let's drop down to chapter 16 and verse 20. Now I'm going to chapter 17. And Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give your counsel, what shall we do?" And Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, those he left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that you have become odious with your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strong." And they spread out a tent for Absalom on the roof, and Absalom went into his father's concubines before the eyes of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as one who had inquired at the word of Elohim. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both to David and to Absalom. Chapter 17. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Please let me choose 12,000 men, and I shall rise up and pursue David tonight. And I shall come on him, and he shall be weary and feeble-handed. And I will make him tremble, and the people with him shall flee, and I will strike the king by himself. And I shall bring all the people back to you when all return, except the man whom you are seeking. All the people shall be in peace." And that's why when they said to David, "You don't come with us. You're like 10,000. Like I just said, they kill David, even all the most loyal to David. Once he's gone, they're going to have to come on Absalom's side or they're going to die. And the thing was pleasing in Absalom's eyes and in the eyes of all the elders of Israel. And Absalom said, "Please call for Hushai the Archite also, and we will hear what is in his mouth also here." And Hushai came into Absalom, and Absalom spoke to him, saying, "Ahithophel was spoken according to this word. Shall we do this word? If not, you speak." And Hushai said to Absalom, "The counsel of Ahithophel counseled is not good at this time." And Hushai said, "You have known your father and his men. They are mighty men, and they are bitter of soul like a bear bereaved of cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war and shall not stay in the night with the people. Behold, now he is hidden in one of the pits or in one of the places. And it shall be at the falling among them at the beginning that whoever hears even shall say, 'There has been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.'" So here it is, he's telling them to go another way. And then if we drop down to down to verse 15, and then Hushai says to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, "Ahithophel has counseled this and this to Absalom the elders of Israel, and I have counseled this and this. And now send quickly to tell David, saying, 'Do not stay in the fords of the wilderness tonight, and also crossing, passing over, that there not be a swallowing up of the king and all the people with him.' And Jonathan and Ahimaaz were standing at Arogel, for they were not able to be seen going into the city. And a slave girl went and told them, and they went and told it to King David." And now what happens, drop down to verse 23. "And Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not done, and he saddled the ass and rose up and went to his house in the city. And he gave command to his household, then he hanged himself and died, and he was buried in the burying place of his father. Really, really telling story. Like I said, you know, the days we're living in, the much is given, much is required, the more is given, the more is expected. How important is it to make sure, if we want to hear the voice of Yahweh, the counsel that we're getting? And the wrong counsel, boy, it can, like with Absalom. Absalom could have taken David over. And yet, because he was not hearing from the voice of Yahweh, or he would have never been trying to take David over to begin with, he took the wrong counsel and it cost his death. So, important lesson to learn here. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 10. Because, you know, we're living in a world where there is so much heresy, there's so much confusion, and many people don't even believe there are leaders and elders in the body of Messiah. Some people say that an elder is only an older person. And I always joke, you know, when Paul sends Titus in a time where there's no airplanes, you know, and he's taking months and months and months and says to go into these places and ordain elders in every city. It's like, you mean he took all this time to go somewhere to tell an old person that he's old? It makes no sense, you know. But Ephesians 4 and verse 10, what is the purpose of elderhood? He that came down is the same who also went up above the heavens that he might fill all things. And indeed, he has assigned some to be apostles. He, Yeshua, has assigned some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why is it? Is it for controlling people? Is it for prestige? No. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all may come to the unity of the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, so that we may no longer be children, being blown and carried away by every wind of doctrine, of men who through their craftiness are very skillful in deceiving the people. And I always say this to people, when somebody's telling you that it's only between me and Yahweh and there's no leadership, you watch that person, because in every case, they're trying to take over leadership. Well, how do you mean? Well, we meet in his house, and he's, you know, and they're trying to do it, and yet usurp the authority that Yeshua has put there. He says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, the Messiah. It is through him that the whole body is closely framed together and united at all joints, according to the gift that is imparted by measure to each member, for the guidance and control of the body, in order to complete the edifying of the body of life. So again, Yeshua did not set his leadership and his elderhood in the body like the Gentiles. It's not for hierarchical reasons. It's not to make our own little kingdoms. It's not to control people. It's for the edifying of the body, because one of the characteristics of an elder should have more discernment than maybe a regular member. And it's to give the wisdom and the counsel that when people need help, that we're there to do it with them. Hebrews 13, verse 7, read 7 through 9, then verse 17. He says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of Elohim to you, considering the completeness of their works, imitate their faith. Yeshua Messiah the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here it is, he's saying, remember your leaders who spoke the word of Elohim to you, considering the completeness of their faith, and then saying, Yeshua Messiah the same yesterday, today, and forever. There was judicial order in the Garden of Eden, there's judicial order today, and there will be judicial order in this kingdom. And all that is there is to keep the order that Yahweh had laid out in his Torah. In verse 17, Hebrews 13, listen to your spiritual leaders and submit to them, for they watch for your souls, giving an account, that they may do this with joy and not with grieving, for this would be unprofitable to you. And a real leader of Yahweh, like I said, they're serving not for themselves, but for the betterment of the people. So when the people submit themselves to the leaders, they're doing it so that the person may be able to serve with joy and that the body can work together as a unit. We must follow the counsel of Yahweh's elders and not people leading us astray. And again, that's point two on how to hear the voice of Yahweh. Some people deceive themselves on what they're doing. They're not hearing Yahweh's voice. They're hearing another voice. And they're saying that it's faith, that they're walking in faith. And Hebrews 11:6 does say it's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. But Hebrews 11:1, people tend to miss this when it tells the definition of faith. And I'll read that now, Hebrews 11, and verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it was the substance of things that have come to pass, and the evidence of things not having been seen. So faith is evidence and faith is substance. And sometimes people will be trying to lead people in deception blindly, and they'll say, well, you have to take it on faith. But faith is substance and evidence. Faith is not blind. And faith is certainly not emotion. And it's one of the major ways in the times we're living in that Satan is deceiving people is through emotion. Through music and emotion, through psychology and emotion. And so many things are unnatural in the world today, and people's emotions are unnatural. And in the West, people are definitely emotionally and spiritually immature, and Satan is using that to his degree to work on somebody's emotion. And what happens in a lot of churches? Instead of hearing the word of Yahweh, you'll hear an emotional story that'll get everybody riled up in an emotion, and then they'll bring in whatever kind of doctrine they want to do through the emotion. Totally against the word of Yahweh. So we want to make sure that we're not deceiving ourselves, and we want to make sure that it is Yahweh that is speaking to us and not the deception of our own heart. And the last thing on hearing the voice of Yahweh is, once you know Yahweh's will, and you know He has spoken to you, you can't turn back. Once you know Yahweh's will, it's amazing. I've had people so many times in the years that will be right on the money, and they'll be doing it the right way, they'll say all the right things, they're going on the right path, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, like it says, the parable of the sower and the seed, the cares of life, or whatever, they'll just turn back because, you know, they, for whatever reason. But if we go to the book of James, and believe me, I know in the West, and especially in a world of TV and video and internet and everything else, that there can be a lot of peer pressure, but you can't let it affect you. And what you realize is, when you realize that 95% of the world or more are not hearing the voice of Yahweh, when you hear His voice, no matter what anybody in your life says, when you know it's Yahweh's will, I've seen people do this with the Sabbath day. They'll look at the scriptures, they'll know that Saturday's the Sabbath. And yet, because they have so much peer pressure from family members, from Sunday keepers, from friends, they'll turn back and go back to Christmas or go back to Sunday or whatever, even though they know it's wrong. But look at what Yahweh says here in James 1, in verse 2. He says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We just said that. Why is it? Knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. One of the things, why did we say, why doesn't Yahweh immediately show the results sometimes that we want? Because He's testing our patience. And we need patience. To be servants of Yahweh, we have to have patience. But let patience have its perfective work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when your patience is perfected, you're going to be complete. Because then you'll never have anxiety. Because you'll always have the patience to go as long as you need to. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask from Elohim, who gives to all freely and with grace, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Just like we said, impossible to please him without faith. But again, faith is substance and reality. Doubting nothing. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being driven by wind and being tossed. For do not let that man purpose that he will receive anything from the Almighty. He is a double-souled man, not dependable in all his ways. Like we were saying before, you know, you want somebody, the council we go to, you want somebody that has wisdom from Yahweh, but you want somebody who's not double-souled. You don't want somebody that one day is giving you this counsel, and the next day is going to say the total opposite. You know, and it's like, what is this? Can't be double-souled. And I want to just read one more story here in 1 Kings that I think is very fitting to the subject. And like I said, going on this last point, it's in 1 Kings 13, that it is vital to understand, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks you're doing is right or wrong. It doesn't matter what the results are that you got. The only thing that matters is if you're hearing the voice of Yahweh. That if Yahweh is leading you in what you're doing, that's the only thing that matters. And if He's leading you, you have to stay the course. That's what faith is. If you turn back for peer pressure or any other reason, you're lacking in faith. And here's a perfect example of a man of Yahweh, a real man of Yahweh, who turned back and had real bad consequences. 1 Kings 13 says, "And behold, a man of Elohim had come from Judah to Bethel by the word of Yahweh, and Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense." So this is at the time of Jeroboam and the kings. "And he cried against the altar by the word of Yahweh and said, Altar, altar, so says Yahweh, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, his name Josiah, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who are burning incense on you, and they shall burn the bones of man on you." Now, amazingly about this, this prophecy is given around 900 BC. Josiah wasn't born until 640. I mean, can you imagine? So, is he a man of Elohim? Of course. Elohim is actually speaking this prophecy through him and telling something that happened exactly according to this 260 years later. And then he says, verse 3, "And on that day he gave a sign, saying, This is the sign that Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar is torn, and the ashes that are on it poured out. And it happened, when the king heard the saying of the man of Elohim, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam put out his hand from the altar, saying, Seize him! And his hand which he put out against him withered, and he was not able to bring it back to him. And the altar was torn, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign that the man of Elohim had given by the word of Yahweh. And the king answered and said to the man of Elohim, Please entreat the face of Yahweh your Elohim and pray for me, and my hand shall come back to me. And the man of Elohim entreated the face of Yahweh, and the hand of the king came back to him. And it was as at the beginning." What did we just say about faith? Evidence, reality. "And the king spoke to the man of Elohim, Come home with me, and refresh yourself, and I will give you a gift. And the man of Elohim said to the king, If you would give me half of your house, I would not go with you, nor will I eat bread, nor will I drink water in this place. For so he commanded me by the word of Yahweh, saying, You shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor turn back in the way that you have come. And he went another way, and did not turn back in the way in which he came into Bethel. And a certain ancient prophet was living in Bethel, and his son came and told him all the deeds that the man of Elohim had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken to the king, yea, they told him to their father. And their father said to them, Where is this man? What way did he go? And his son saw the way that the man of Elohim from Judah had gone. And he said to his son, Saddle the ass for me, and they saddled the ass for him, and he rode on it. And he went after the man of Elohim and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said to him, Are you the man of Elohim who has come from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said to him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I am not able to go back with you and go in with you, nor may I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For a word came to me by the word of Yahweh, You shall not eat bread nor drink water there. You shall not turn back to go in the way in which you came. And he said to him, I also am a prophet like yourself. And a cherub spoke to me by the word of Yahweh, saying, Bring him back with you into your house, and he shall eat bread and water. He lied to him. And he turned back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. And it happened as they were sitting at the table that a word of Yahweh came to the prophet who brought it back. And he cried to the man of Elohim who came from Judah, saying, So says Yahweh, because you have resisted the mouth of Yahweh and have not kept the command that Yahweh your Elohim charged you, and turned back and ate bread and drank water in the place in which he said to you, You shall not eat bread nor drink water. Your carcass shall not come to the burying place of your fathers. And after he ate bread and after he drank, it happened that he saddled the ass for him, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And he left, and a lion found him in the way and killed him, and his carcass was thrown down in the way, and the ass was standing near it, and the lion was standing near the carcass." Wow, what a lesson, right? And what did we learn here? The first two things we learned. Number one, it's got to be confirmed by the word of Yahweh. So if Yahweh confirmed to him that he was not to go back in this way, like Paul said, if someone comes, if a cherub from heaven comes to you and preaches another Yeshua, don't believe it. Don't believe it. And we're living in this time. This isn't just a story. We're living in this time that Yeshua said, we will see every single deception that if possible, even the elect would be deceived. And we're living it. We're seeing things that we would have never thought we saw, and this is only the beginning. The beast power isn't even set up. The false prophet, the lying signs and wonders, the miracles that are going to come, we haven't even remotely began to see them. And how easy is it? How easy is it right here, hearing the voice of Yahweh? Trusting in Yahweh with all your heart, not wavering from His word no matter what, getting multitude of wise counsel from Yahweh's leadership, and then once you hear Yahweh's voice, once He's spoken to you, never turning back on it. And you know, there's many ways that Yahweh can speak to a person. I've been blessed several times in my life that Yahweh has literally spoken to me in an audible voice. Like I said, one time even a cherub that had appeared to me. But most of the time, it's not going to be like that. Most of the time, 90% of the time, the way I hear Yahweh's voice is right in His Word. You pray about something, you're asking Yahweh, you open up the Word, and He just shows it to you. And it's there. And that's the way most of the time Yahweh's talking to us. He's talking through His Word, and other times He'll talk through somebody else. So many times something was confirmed where Yahweh put something in your mind and then you're praying, is this from You, Yahweh? Almost like the Uman and the Thurman. And then you'll talk to someone else and they'll directly tell you the answer that you just asked from Yahweh, from another person. It could even be someone that's not a believer. But that person will speak, and you know when he speaks to you that it's just Yahweh speaking. Just like I said, the time at the border guard. You know, when he looked at me and said, don't do this again. It was like I knew that was the confirmation from Yahweh that I was asking him. So it's so important. It's so important that we can't let others deceive us in these end times. You know, and maybe we're not part of the evangelical movement. You know, that we don't have to worry about some of these guys like a Benny Hinn or something like that. But wow, deceptions can come from every direction. And we have to be so important that we know where our counsel is coming from. We need counsel. You don't want to make yourself an island, because without counsel, what happens? You know, you're going to be a fool. You're going to perish. I know I don't want to make decisions all by myself, because some I'll make good and some I'll do bad. And even the wisest man, and none of us are Solomon, none of us are perfect. So we want to make sure we have counsel, but we want to make sure we know where the counsel is coming from. All that should matter is that you know for certain that Yahweh is leading you. All the other consequences are immaterial. No matter what happens, no matter if you're kicked out of the land, no matter if you're in a pit, no matter if the king is chasing you, no matter if you wind up in prison, it's all immaterial. As long as you know that Yahweh is leading you, then every opportunity that comes up, even if you're in a prison, is a brand new ministry. It's a brand new ministry wherever you are. To bring the Word wherever He has your job that day. So that's why hearing the voice of Yahweh, it's not only important, it's a must. It's a must to us serving in His kingdom. And as long as we're certain Yahweh is leading us, all the consequences are immaterial. So many are being deceived by following false teachers on the internet, not hearing the voice of Yahweh through His Word. Yahweh is redeeming the sons of Israel. You know, Isaiah 48. You know, what does it say? I'll read the one scripture here, Isaiah 48:20. Go out of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans. Tell this with the voice of rejoicing. Let it be heard. Let it go to the ends of the earth. Say, Yahweh has redeemed His servant Jacob. That's what our job is. Our job is in the end time of encouraging believers and enlightening them through what Yahweh's doing and being a witness to the world. What does Yahweh say? This gospel will go to all the world as a witness. It doesn't mean necessarily everyone's going to change, but they're going to be witnessed to what Yahweh is doing in the end time. And in the end time, He's redeeming the sons of Jacob. He's redeeming the very land that we're sitting in right now. And He's fulfilling promises that He made almost 3,000 years ago to our father Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob. So, it's time to choose. You know, the night is far spent, and the day is far spent, the night is coming on. And we need to really, each one of us in our lives, we have to really choose for ourselves, you know, who we will serve. Will we serve the kingdom of Yahweh, or will we serve Babylon? But we want to make sure that it's something that we're praying to Yahweh and making sure that we are hearing His voice every day of our life.